Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Kale and Company, 7:04 as we begin hour number two here on a Tuesday morning. Cut sheet just about 40 minutes away, 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, a couple of other big stories we will get to. Supreme Court lifts the third country deportation limits in a 6-3 partisan ruling yesterday. We'll give you the details as to what that means for Trump and everybody that has been apprehended after entering this country illegally in just a little bit. A couple of other stories off the beaten path as well, but let's get to the news because we have developments, and 47 was just on television speaking live. So let's get to Dawn Stenzelin with round number two of the news.
Yeah, good morning. We do have a lot of breaking news here on Kale and Company News Live, sponsored by American Heritage Credit Union. This Tuesday morning, June the 24th, temperatures on the rise and heat, extreme heat warnings in effect until tomorrow evening, as we do have another, the heat wave continues here. So President Trump just speaking just moments ago to reporters as the ceasefire status apparently unclear after Israel has claimed that Iran broke the ceasefire just hours into it and fired and killed two Israeli soldiers. That was a news headline this morning. But what is the truth? As Iran says, that's just not true. They are not responsible. They did not break the ceasefire. And so the headlines say the ceasefire is off, but Iran continues to say, we absolutely had nothing to do with this. That is their claim on their state-run television. Israel warning its public to take shelter after detecting those missile launches from Iran early this morning. The launches came after 4 a.m. local time in Tehran. The time Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi said that Iran would stop its attacks if Israel ended their airstrike. And so President Trump had, as we've reported, said on social media that Israel and Iran agreed to a, quote, complete and total ceasefire to be phased in over the next 24 hours. So it's unclear yet as far as the impact on whether they're going to try to get back on board, whether they're going to blame a rogue terror cell who tried to disrupt the ceasefire.
I mean, there's four Israelis dead, so I'm sure they're not going. I don't believe it's unclear. I believe that it's going to. I believe it's going to continue because Israel's going to respond.
Right. That's what. But I think the question is if Iran can put up and say this was some rogue cell or some terrorist group we're not responsible for.
Israel's not going to believe them.
Yeah, they're not. They broke that trust.
The scroll on Fox says Trump, quote, not happy with Iran, not happy with Israel either, which is kind of the tone that he has taken with Russia and Ukraine as well, because obviously he wants both to come to a peace agreement, and right now that's not the case.
Yeah, and so President Trump, where is he headed? Right now he is headed to attend the NATO summit, and this days after, obviously, the U.S. strikes on Iran, and with the what he thought he was heading to NATO with one problem solved, with a ceasefire in hand, had hoped that that would give him momentum heading into NATO. The NATO meeting, by the way, this is scheduled at the Hague in the Netherlands, and this is supposed to be a quick NATO meeting. As they're looking at funding, he's pushing for other NATO members to pay more. This is a campaign promise that he made, that the U.S., we get played, we basically foot the bill for everybody, much like if you go to the restaurant, everybody's supposed to pay their fair share. And he has repeatedly said, you know, we essentially pay the bulk of this.
Yeah. And he's right. Why does America, I mean, this is like being a major business owner and then having to subsidize other failing businesses. Why does the United States have to continue to foot the bill for everybody else's issues? He's 1,000% right on that.
Or drop bombs when it's not our war.
Well, that too. Yeah. You notice how Stocker turned the mic off there? I think that was like a mic drop moment.
Did Trump, so I'm looking at this, did President, the headline on CNN is, Trump says Israel and Iran don't know what the F they're doing.
No. Do we have that? We have audio of that?
CNN. So good thing you didn't take that one live.
No, we need that. Right. We need a little curse
Hopefully
word.
Hopefully he said
out.
It the way I said it.
I'm not in the business of transcribing the president. So yeah. I.
Well,
Hold on a second.
Just take everything he says at face value.
Well, that's a headline banner, by the way. But the president will spend hours engaged in these bilateral meetings. This is NATO at The Hague, The Hague, however you want to pronounce it. And then they'll have a party at the Royal Palace alongside the King and Queen of the Netherlands. And they also will take one of these NATO family photos. This is always awkward. I don't know why they take the group photos, but it's always kind of fun to people watch. There's a lot of local news as we talk about what's going on as authorities. One of the big stories here that's making national news, and that is takes us to Chester County, where basically law enforcement, the DA out there, they're asking for the public's help. And the public's, if the public has any input into this or any information. So perhaps they believe that the suspect in this one who showed up at that No Kings rally, which was a huge rally with tens of thousands of people, and this was in Westchester. We'll take you back to that day, June 14th, which was also Flag Day, which was also the day of the 250th Army commemoration that was hosted by, if you will, the U.S. Army, President Trump in D.C. But here locally, a concerning situation with 31-year-old Kevin Krebs from Malvern, Pennsylvania, shows up in Westchester. And at the end of the day, police found a fully loaded handgun, three loaded handgun magazines, six loaded rifle magazines, knives, a ski mask, gloves hidden under his clothing. They found explosives. Once they then searched his car, search warrant for his home in Malvern, more explosives. And so now they've decided to hold this guy, even though his family, the defense attorney, says that 31-year-old Kevin Krebs has autism, lived at home with his parents and his younger brother, and that this is all a big misunderstanding. They say specifically they don't have, they search for any kind of a pre-written plan or a manifesto to show any kind of an intent to commit some kind of act of terrorism. They have not found that at all. And so the family is saying this is a guy who has been obsessed with explosives, and he went to the rally armed with a handgun because he feared some kind of violence. So that's the defense's, you know, side of the story.
Just to round back quickly, Dawn, to what you're saying, or as you would say, circle back, as the Sockster would say. You're right. Trump did say Israel and Iran don't know what they're doing. And he just posted, I guess, while aboard Air Force One at Joint Base Andrews, he posted the following on Truth, all capital letters: Israel, do not drop those bombs. If you do, it is a major violation. Bring your pilots home now. It's about as stern as I've ever heard Trump on Israel.
Yeah, and so, and this is, think about it. We've, in a presidency, we've never seen social media being used. I mean, this is on a social media platform to set forth policy, to communicate policy, and to influence public opinion. And we're seeing it in real time.
Yep.
So is this a good thing? Because in the past, you had leaders who met privately, and then we learned about it later, sometimes 12 hours later, sometimes 24 hours later. Now it's all happening, breaking in real time, sometimes to the advantage of leaders, sometimes to the disadvantage, and then other times it's to the advantage of those who want to manipulate what's happening, politics or world events.
Yep.
So I'll just put that out there for you, because we've never seen this. Let's talk about the day one yesterday, and this was jury selection. Got underway. The jury was chosen. This is expected to be a very quick trial. The trial of a then teenager, now 20-year-old young man, accused of first-degree murder, among many other charges, accused of the execution-style murder of a local police officer, and one whose family and widow and parents we've all gotten to know. And this is Sergeant Chris Fitzgerald. His widow, Marissa Fitzgerald, has spoken out. His dad, Dr. Fitzgerald, was speaking out yesterday. So the family at court, in court, having to relive this horrible murder that happened in February of 2023. And now here we are with opening statements yesterday. The 20-year-old Miles Pfeffer from Bucks County, Pennsylvania, his defense team speaking out, saying that the then teenager was afraid, was fearful of the police officer, and that's why they're defending that he shot the officer. So apparently, they're because everything's on video, they're not denying that Pfeffer shot and killed the officer. They're simply trying to mitigate the circumstance and defend him by saying it was not first-degree murder because this was basically a teenager who feared the officer.
Oh, yeah.
Prosecutors slamming that in court.
What was the original reason why Pfeffer was on the run? What caused? Was this one of those teen gatherings and meetups back when this initially happened?
No.
What led to him running down that alley and being chased by police?
Well, there was a 911 call. And this was an active situation where Sergeant Fitzgerald was answering. In other words, there was a 911 call about, you know, seeing these three individuals in the series of a crime and a carjacking. That
That's
was
right.
The
it was a carjacking. Yep.
So he was answering a call for help.
Got it. Okay. I didn't remember,
you know,
if
I mean?
This was one of those big teen gather ups in the city where, you know, the cops have to disperse the crowds and. And this guy got out of line. But yeah, now that does ring a bell,
yeah.
The carjacking.
And I think that bolsters, you know, you make a good point that this is not a law enforcement officer who observes a group of teenagers and approaches them investigating. They were already on the run and they were already, you know, they already knew that police were after them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story that we've received.
Yep.
So we have all of that going on. And, of course, we've been talking about this heat wave, oppressive heat. And this, unfortunately, as you know, we had those storms that struck very quickly. I'm amazed that the National Weather Service last Thursday did not come back and say there was some kind of tornado, because it felt like a tornado. It struck so quickly and violently to the point that we have PICO putting out the word that they had to bring in crews from other states to answer the call of hundreds of thousands of people without power. They've restored all but about 2,000 due to those storms that struck last Thursday. So you combine the fact that you have thousands of people, mostly in Montgomery County and Delaware County, still as we speak, that don't have power, that haven't had it, trying to use backup generators. They don't have a generator. And then the issue, too, of if you have a gas-powered generator and now you have this heat that holds in those particles of pollution, if you have a generator, you know it's loud, it's obnoxious, it spews out these noxious fumes, which are stinky in the neighborhood. So people are sick of it. I have one of those generators. We bought it. It was a mistake. They're so loud. And just awful. You can't have it in your garage even because mm-hmm. of the carbon monoxide and all the fumes.
Yeah, my in-laws have one.
Ugh,
yeah, we used it. What was that hurricane we had that hit here? 2011, 2012. What was the name of that? It wasn't Sandy, was it? I forget the name of it, but we used the generator for a while when we were without power. You're right. They can be very loud.
So in that one, we still, PICO crews saying, thank you for your patience. My power, my family's power, my neighborhood was restored Saturday. But a lot of people just lost all their refrigerated goods. They're staying at a hotel, going down the shore, whatever. But we still have 2,000 at least without power with all of these heat health emergencies in effect. People still without power, and it's going to feel with the heat index. What's it going to feel like, 105?
105 degrees, Dawn. Already, according to the Kale and Company YouTube radar, 87.1 degrees Fahrenheit. It's not even cut sheet time yet. Going up to 100 today, it'll feel like 105. Philly weather brought to you by MTRule.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRUHL. com. All right, let's get to your calls, 855-839-1210. We have Gene, who wants to weigh in on the Middle East. Gene, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I love your show, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My comment is on the Iran-Israeli conflict. I feel it's naive to think it's over. Like, you know, I think to think we can come in and drop a few bombs and that ends it, and now there's peace between Iran and Israel. And the other comment I had is I felt Dawn in her statement saying Marjorie Taylor Greene is wrong is unfair. She might be right. I don't think any of us should say someone's take on the situation is right or wrong. You know, this is not something that's going to be settled easily. And I think we are in it now. And to just think, you know, it's over, there's peace. And I don't know why Trump would have done that, to say that. I think that was premature.
Well,
so that's just my 2 cents.
That's why I threw out, when I was mentioning 3 or 4 possibilities, is it possible that Trump jumped the gun and rushed to judgment to post that on Truth? But then again, we've seen this conflict going on forever, and it will never, ever be officially over. The best I think that you can hope, and Don, I'll let you jump in response to him on MTG. The best I think you can hope for as a president is that you have peace while you are in office, right? Like, Trump didn't start any new wars in his first term. He would love to have peace for the 4 years in his second and final term. But I am, and I don't know that anybody is naive enough to believe that there will ever be peace in the Middle East. I've said it countless times. I'm tired of saying it, but it's true. They've been doing this since biblical times in the Middle East. It's never going to end. It's religious. It's territorial. It's literally a disagreement. These two nations and these two sides, if you will, because I know it expands beyond just one nation versus the other. This is not Russia versus Ukraine. This is regional. I mean, they don't agree that today's Tuesday. So I'll leave it at that.
Just to respond, I would say where I feel she's wrong is that during this action, she always has to, in real time, and that's why I mentioned even Trump speaking out and putting a warning out. Everything's in real time nowadays, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. it impacts people.
Yeah.
And so I feel like she could hold her tongue when we have a tense situation. And now Marjorie Taylor Greene, Representative Congresswoman Greene herself is, I think, if you look at her social media just today and yesterday, is trying to pull back now and say, no, I am President Trump's loudest ally, and I support him. I just disagree with getting into a war. But if you listen to Trump, J.D. Vance yesterday, they feel that they were not trying to declare war. And so that's the debate here.
Mm-hmm.
My criticism of her is, look at the facts and look at what they're saying and listen to what they're saying before you, as an elected official, as a congressperson who has a huge amount of followers and has an impact when she speaks. And so to me, it's not helpful. Do you think it was helpful? I mean, she's claiming yesterday and today, I'm Trump's biggest supporter. He's an ally. We have no break. There is no divide. But then at the same time, every 2 seconds, she has to push
it. Shouldn't
back.
Be a loyalty test, guys. Like, this is,
I'm
this
not
is,
saying
this
it's
is
a loyalty
all,
test.
This is all tribalism.
It's
weird.
It's a, can
weirdness.
You be prudent? Can you just hold your tongue for a hot second while they're in the midst of trying
to
figure this out?
I agree with both of you. I mean, yes. I mean, the tribalism is absurd. We have to stop the supporting 100% of everything somebody does. But also, to your point, Dawn, you know, Trump is a very outspoken, in the moment, social media, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I'm doing, I'm going to post it, president. And I've said this for 3 years on this show. I don't need a bunch of mini Trump people rushing to the cameras, the microphones, and social media to give their take on every single thing in office, right? Like Marjorie Taylor, and both sides. So many people in office are just using their current position to elevate their platform for their next gig. Don't know if that's Marjorie Taylor Greene's MO or not. Don't know if that's somebody's MO or not on the left like John Fetterman. But we have a lot of senators, congressmen, and women that are attention-seeking media whores. And to Marjorie Taylor Greene, I would say this. Enough with the fur coats. Enough with the yes. It doesn't matter if I agree with you or you disagree with Trump. But, I mean, you lose a little credibility with me when you sign something that you didn't read. So, and again, I disagree with her position on Trump broke a campaign promise. But it's her right to feel that way. But to your point, I agree, Dawn, this rush to just get out there and not, that's why I didn't even put out a thought yesterday on the ceasefire, because I knew that it was likely that what I tweeted out or what I decided to write for the Big Take, there's a possibility it would be dated by the time I came in here at 6 o'clock. And I'm not redoing it at 4:30 in the morning because these psychos can't keep their act together. God, I hate these people.
We have to
All
break.
Of them.
We have to break.
All right, Kale and company. We have great work out of Jimmy and Phil. We have what Trump said before he boarded at Joint Force Base Andrews, and we'll give you that when we come back. So stay tuned for that. Fresh audio from Trump right before he took off for the NATO meeting. All right, we got to talk to you about our great friends at Piazza Auto Group, the brand that I used to drive for 10 years, Acura. Absolutely loved it. And I'm not surprised in the least bit that they have just racked up more awards for America's best value luxury brand in Kelley Blue Book's 2025 Consumer Choice Awards. That means top performance. You know, with Acura, you're getting cutting edge technology and you get unmistakable style. I consider Acura to be luxury with affordability, all with long-term value that you can trust. And the value really does hold on an Acura. I got almost $4,000 for an 11-year-old Acura with 230,000 miles on it. They hold their value, folks. From the sporty Integra to the all-new ADX, Acura delivers more for your drive and, more importantly, more for your dollar. Visit Piazza Acura in Ardmore, Reading, or Westchester today, and you can shop online anytime at your convenience. PiazzaAcura.com.
Summertime heat is here, and keeping your home cool and efficient is obviously paramount. That's why I have my guys, Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. They were out to get our AC unit all summer ready. Take my advice. Get your AC unit serviced this summer by my guys. And if Marvin E. Cans feels that your unit needs to be replaced, they're going to give you an honest assessment at a fair price and install a high-efficiency Trane AC unit. Trane, T-R-A-N-E. It's hard to stop a train, as they say. Visit my guys, Marvin E. Cans, KANZE.com, MarvinEcans.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Peter McKee and Highlight Electric with the playlist all week long. Generous donation, charitable causes like the Travis Mannion Foundation. Or, of course, families behind the badge, GregStockerSucks.com. If you'd like to donate for the bike ride coming up, all of it benefits those like Marissa Fitzgerald, Stephanie Mack, and others. Cut Sheets coming up in just over 10 minutes. I promise lots of other content. But we are now on, I believe, show seven. Seven consecutive shows of conflict in the Middle East, which is interesting because I look up and I see MAGA Mike. He's on television this morning, and the Senate obviously wants to get this one big beautiful bill through by July 4th. And of course, we've got Trump. He's ticked off because he wants that bill to be finalized on tax cuts and energy. And we've got conflict in Russia and Ukraine. And of course, all hell breaking loose in the Middle East. And we've turned around that audio. So shout out to Jimmy, Greg, and Phil for that. And I believe we have some of that now.
Yeah. You want to start with K-10 here, Phil? This is the one that Dawn referenced, where Trump saying they both effed up. Roll this.
We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
You understand that? Have I made myself clear? These two have been going at it since the beginning of time, and they don't even know what the hell they're trying to accomplish. I love it. I love it. Point blank, period. And great. And so, and, you know, people say, oh, Nick, you're pro-Jew. You're pro. Yes, I am pro-Jew, but I'm not an apologist for anybody on any side. But if you don't think that he's a little fumed and ticked off right now with BB, then you're not paying attention.
So you had to beep him out?
Yeah. Okay. Why?
I don't know.
Wait, you don't think he curses?
Well, no, I just usually, he's mad.
Yes, he should be. He
is livid.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
That's what I want to hear. Enough of your effing nonsense. Get it together. Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Iran. Enough.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall when he called both. Because you know he got on the phone with Bibi. Don't do it.
That's why he posted that. Right? He just put the X out, the post on Truth. Yeah, Israel, do not bomb.
Bibi is his bud, though. So he called him. You know he called him, right? I mean, I don't know that. I don't.
Okay, fair to assume.
I would love, we'll find out. They'll ask him. hopefully.
Are you eating for the first time in the history of this show?
No.
You liar.
I'm not. I'm not. I had a lozenge.
26 here, Phil. He says he's not happy with Iran nor Israel. Oh, sorry.
Do you believe that Iran is still committed?
Yeah, I do. They violated it, but Israel violated it, too.
Are you questioning if Israel is committed?
Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I've never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because of one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that.
Wow. First of all, Jimmy, I need the biggest load pulled at the drop of Trump that needs to be on my board stat. Secondly, it sounds like he's more pissed off right now with Israel than he is Iran. Mm-hmm. And I would be ticked off at both sides if we had reached tentative or finalized conclusive terms of a ceasefire and both sides are like, well, we... and I'm, yeah, this is totally spitballing here. Well, we have a few in the chamber. Can we just empty the clip before we call it official? No, you can't. I don't care if you had one left over or 13 left over. It ends here. That's the point of a ceasefire. Not a ceasefire after you empty your round or whatever you want to call it. This is why I am so anti-war, and this is why I'm so sick of America's involvement in all of this. This has been like the one political stance I've had since I was 15 and learning about this in high school. Why does America have to be the police of the United States, of the world? Why do we have to be the global cops? I'm just so tired of it. It's a never-ending thing, and there's nothing to gain from it other than those that are profiting off of all of this. God, I hate it.
Yeah, and I think the more you hear him, the more, you know, he is resisting. I really think that he was convinced, you know, that they had this window of opportunity to take out the nuclear, you know, weaponry capability. But I think he's out and he's saying enough. And you're seeing that because I think, you know, J.D. Vance went on with Bret Baier yesterday.
Yeah.
And had that long interview.
Yep.
And you could just see that they were relieved that, OK, we're done. We finally have a ceasefire. It's all good. We're going to, you know, make it right. He's on the phone with the Qatari, you know, everybody. And he'll see some of these people and have discussions when he is, you know, that's where he's leaving. You hear the chopper in the back. And then he went, obviously, on to get on Air Force One and head over now to the Netherlands for NATO. And I just think he thought, OK, we're done with that. We're moving on to the next thing because I think he wants to focus, obviously, on Russia, Ukraine.
Yes. Yes. And obviously the one big, beautiful bill, which is his prized, you know, possession here as far as policy goes and getting that done in the first 6 months. But, you know, I'm not a Trump apologist by any stretch. I try to be a realist with him, but I'm thinking about how pissed he must be. Think about this. You go to bed. I don't know. It's 2:33 in the morning. Whenever the last time he posted on Truth Social was, guy gets 3 hours of sleep. He's up at 6 o'clock, gets in the shower, puts on his Old Spice and his Brute, according to Stormy Daniels. He throws on the suit. He goes out on the lawn at 6:45. We know he doesn't drink coffee. He's not even caffeinated yet. And you got to find out and be briefed by your staff that Iran reportedly violated the ceasefire deal. And then you've got people on the lawn. I mean, the sun is barely coming up. I mean, when you have to curse before you've had your coffee, you know your day's going to suck, right? It's like me on a weekend, right? If I got to drop an F-bomb in the house before I've got my first cold brew in me, I'm not a happy camper. So I totally get where he is right now. 1,000%. I'm tired of all these other nations, including Israel, for all the Jewish apologists. I'm tired of them, too.
Well, and it doesn't help that initially Israel reported that Iran broke the ceasefire and 7 were killed. Now they're saying 4 were killed. You can hear Trump in that clip. He's questioning what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, he's essentially blaming Israel for unloading. So looking at the time, because remember, they had a time they said, okay, it's a ceasefire, but it officially begins.
Yeah.
Okay, so what he's saying is right before
the 12th hour, the 24th
hour where it's supposed to begin, now they unload.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, is why he is he's fuming.
Yeah. One more, 25. Actually, there's two more. 25 here, Phil.
I think they both violated it. I don't think they, I'm not sure they did it intentionally. They couldn't rein people back. I don't like the fact that Israel went out this morning at all, and I'm going to see if I can stop it. So as soon as I get away from you, I'm going to see if I can stop it. Okay.
I don't like you too much either.
Israel, to me, is the easier one to rein in because it's merely the Israeli military. With Iran, they have their tentacles in so many different factions, so to speak, whether it's the Houthis, Hamas, Hezbollah. Mm-hmm. So they're a more difficult one to rein in, which is why I think you're seeing some of the vitriol from Trump towards Israel. And we played you that montage last week of 30 years of Bibi Netanyahu saying Iran has nuclear capabilities. And they could very well have been correct. Again, we don't know. This time around, they might have reached 60, 75, 90% capability. But in the years past, for 25, 30 years, we keep hearing the same thing over and over. So, and make no mistake about it, this is an ego thing for Trump, I think. This is a pride thing for him. This is what he campaigned on. It's gone more difficult than he thought it would. Now, I'm actually going to eat some crow because I'm a man of my word. I did say by the first day of summer, June 21st, that we would have a ceasefire and a peace deal with Russia-Ukraine. I am wrong. I'm going to stick my head in the toilet and have a meeting with myself at 10:15 today.
Stop.
So I'm willing to go that far. But now you've got this conflict in the Middle East. So you've got the two big global wars that are going on. And we don't have peace yet. And that's not to say it's Trump's fault, but you can bet as a man with an ego that he is probably steaming right now that he hasn't reached the finish line that he set for himself on the campaign trail.
Yeah, and it's aggravating. And he, let us not forget, he inherited all of this.
Yep.
But he, I think that he felt that by July 4th, he could wrap it up. And I think you're right that he's clearly frustrated. Let us not forget. Trump, according to, well, if you believe their polls over there, Trump is reportedly more popular in Israel than Bibi Netanyahu. And so this, so what he's doing, and the reason I think, because I always have to analyze his use of social media. And so what he's also doing is he is putting Benjamin Netanyahu on notice and letting the Israeli people know, who he's very popular with, that he's not happy with Netanyahu.
It's interesting that he's more popular with the Jews in Israel than he is the Jews in America, despite getting the highest Jewish vote since, I think, 1988 for a Republican. Fascinating.
24 here, Phil.
I don't think so, but I'm not happy that Israel's going out now. There was one rocket that I guess was fired overboard. It was after the time limit and it missed its target. And now Israel's going out. These guys got to calm down. Ridiculous. I didn't like plenty of things I saw yesterday. I didn't like the fact that Israel unloaded right after we made the deal. They didn't have to unload. And I didn't like the fact that the retaliation was very strong. But in all fairness, Israel unloaded a lot. And now I hear Israel just went out because they felt it was violated by one rocket that didn't land anywhere. That's not what we want, I'll tell you. And I'm telling you, I'm not happy about that, Israel, either.
Yep, he is steamed up.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing.
Exactly right. Thank you very much, Jimmy.
It's Kale and Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
7:46, close to being on time. I'll blame that one on Trump. He was a little long-winded there. Let's get to a Tuesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Tuesday, sponsored by Amazon? Okay, I've got some good news, and I've got some really good news, some great news. The good news is that Prime Day is almost here. The great news, this year you'll have 4 days to find new deals on all your favorite things. Shop Prime Day, July 8th through the 11th. That's Prime Day, July 8th through the 11th. Thank you, Amazon, for sponsoring the ever-important Tuesday edition. What's the matter?
Every man's worst nightmare. 4 days of Amazon shopping. Wives unsupervised with credit cards. Logins and passwords.
Yep.
Telling you, Kristen. Don't do it.
Uh-oh.
Don't do it.
Uh-oh.
Don't do it. But the
the vacuum was 80% off. I'll do it.
Kristen's going to do what she wants to do.
Here's what I would tell her.
All right. Where do you want to go? You want to stay on topic or you want to have fun?
So yesterday, AG Pam Bondi, she had a hearing for her 2026 budget request proposal, and she got into it with Madeline Dean.
Oh,
from here, Montgomery in, County.
Montgomery County.
Are the Epstein files still on her desk? Forgot about those.
Let's start with cut 11 here, Phil Roller.
You want to protect law enforcement, but your principal, the president, pardoned every single one on January 6th. It rings hollow when you say these words, that if you spit on a police officer, we're going to go after you. Talk to my friends who are Capitol Police officers who were here, five of whom are no longer here. They are dead. And this administration, and I guess I want to ask you, did you have any advice for the president when he came forward with the blanket pardon on January 20th? What advice did you offer the president?
I am never going to talk about conversations, advice
were you asked
in any way.
Were you asked
I'm
for
never
advice?
Going to talk about discussions I've had because or have not had.
You'll remember.
I can answer with the president of the United
yes or no.
States.
Did you give him any advice, yes or no?
I am not going to discuss any conversations
that's
that
enough.
I have had with it.
And
you just put
your
words
own
in my
words.
Mouth. I am not going to
no,
discuss.
No, I'm
going to
reveal your own words.
I am not going to discuss conversations that I've had with the President of the United States.
Attorney
you asked
General,
me a question.
I would like to reclaim
and
the
you
last
asked
20
me
seconds.
To answer.
I have asked to reclaim my time. Please put 20 seconds back on the clock.
You have an extra 30.
Is this the shot clock in the NBA Finals?
She answered and then answered it again and answered it again with a non-answer. I ask for your consideration
if
of putting time on.
We'll okay, let the witness answer the question. We will.
She answered it by saying no. Okay. The three hallmarks of this administration are incompetence, corruption, and cruelty. I'm going to focus today on corruption.
How about you ask a question
in
instead
mind,
of giving commentary?
Corruption, personal, and then the other I'm going to call public, governmental. Attorney General, have you ever been registered as an agent of a foreign principal under the Foreign Agents Registration Act?
I mean, that's a good question.
I assume you're talking about when I represented the country of Qatar for a very short time.
The answer
hold on.
Is yet, no,
hold
excuse
on.
Me.
No,
no.
For anti-human trafficking for the World Cup. Anti-human trafficking
yes or
for
no.
the World Cup.
Attorney
you can't
General,
put words in my mouth.
No.
You want to talk about incompetence? You're the one that said Joe Biden on PBS was competent. You had to retract those words.
Mr. Chairman.
Talk to me. Don't insult me publicly.
This is so discourteous. This is so outside the committee's guidelines. Taking a personal shot at me while swiping at Biden?
Oh.
Very strange and very unprofessional.
Dish it out but can't take it.
The answer is yes or no, and the answer is yes. You were registered as a lobbyist for Qatar. Is that correct?
Can we pause it real
yes.
quick?
Yeah. Never mind.
She
ahead.
Represents Kutztown?
So she, yeah, I've mentioned this before. Her district is Kutztown, something else.
Lansdowne, part of Lansdowne,
Pottstown
too.
Pottstown and
so
and
she's
Abington.
Part Monco, part Berks.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to reclaim 2 minutes of cut sheet time from that waste of an exercise that we had to sit through. These things are the biggest waste of not only airtime on C-SPAN as far as programming goes, as well as taxpayer dollars. So what we have here is a Democrat and a Republican in a pissing match over opinions as opposed to legitimate questions, which accomplish nothing, which are aha gotcha moments or alleged intended aha gotcha moments that don't land. This is, right there, that exchange accomplished nothing and is why Americans hate politics and why many of us, except for us that live and breathe it, tune most of it out. So we're talking about January 6th, and then we're talking about the World Cup, and then we're talking about what this she goes, this administration stands on three things, and then follows it by giving opinion on what she thinks of the administration, not policy. A waste of time.
And remember, Madeline Dean, Congresswoman Madeline Dean, the representative of Berks and Montgomery counties, was one of the nine named impeachment managers in the trial of President Trump, taking mm-hmm. you back 4 years ago.
Yep.
So basically, we have Democrats, even in the second half of 2025, living out something that happened 4.5 years ago. That's fine. I mean, for those that do tune into that, that are tired of hearing that, I mean, remember when we had the one of the poll questions we had, I think late in the summer last year of 2024 was, where does January 6th rank for you? And I think it was across Democrats, Independents, and Republicans. And it was so far down on the list. This is why Democrats continue to fail. They don't have anything. They've got like three things. They go to racism, they go to January 6th, and they do identity politics. And America largely has tuned all of it out.
She went at it with Democrat Rosa DeLaRue.
Our New Englander with purple hair. I think she's from New England, right? Or is she California?
I don't know.
She's got the purple hair and the goofy glasses. She's in her 80s, too, I think.
Roll this.
Everyone sitting up here, guns and drugs go together. They go together. We're going to make it more efficient. What I will tell you will not be happening is ATF agents will not be knocking on the doors of legal gun owners in the middle of the night asking them about their guns. They're going to be out on the streets. If I can finish, they're going to be out on the streets.
I have three
minutes. You asked me a question.
I did.
And you haven't answered my question. So they're going to be out on the streets working
Mr. Chairman, I'd like an answer to my question. And the question is not being answered. How many ATF law enforcement officers and industry operations investigators do you anticipate will be lost to attrition as a result of the funding reduction you are proposing? You are proposing a 26% cut to ATF for fiscal year 2026, as well as a 4.4% cut to DEA. So you're going to merge the two agencies together, and then you're going to shortchange their resources, so neither one of them will be able to do the job that they have been designed to do. You've got a 34% cut to the high-intensity drug trafficking areas program, no dedicated money at all for the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force. So, my view, it's fair to say that the Trump administration proposal shortchanges federal efforts to stop illegal gun trafficking and federal efforts to stop the flow of dangerous illegal drugs like fentanyl.
All right, stop it right there. Enough of purple hair. Don't talk to me about fentanyl if you're a Democrat. You opened up a border that allowed 15 million people with drug traffickers to smuggle enough fentanyl in this country to wipe out continents. So you don't get the right to talk about fentanyl in this country and the tragic overdoses and the accidental deaths that occur when you think you're taking marijuana or something and it's laced with fentanyl. So I move on from that. Secondly, as far as the cuts go, so you don't like the fact that people that believe in the Second Amendment are going to cut via Doge, or basically we're going to Doge a certain percentage of the ATF. Here's the deal. It's your right in this country to bear arms. And if you handle your gun responsibly and you're not mentally ill, you probably don't end up having a tragedy.
Now she's 82-year-old. Rosa DeLauro of Connecticut.
That's right, Connecticut.
Yep.
It's basically California on the East Coast.
And one of the things that she put out on X, she wrote, "This administration is attempting to topple the rule of law and defund law enforcement in our communities." And she says that she and her fellow Dems are demanding answers from Bondi.
So she says that Republicans are defunding law enforcement? Yeah.
So that was where she was trying to do. And by the way, we know that as far as the fentanyl crisis and all of that, the fact that, you know, and we've reported on this ad nauseum, the fact that Trump has been able to effectively shut down the border also has helped with the fentanyl crisis.
Sure.
We talked last week about alligator Alcatraz.
Yes.
Well, DHS has approved it. It's a new facility in Florida to detain illegals surrounded by a swamp filled with alligators. In case you forgot, this was the AG of Florida discussing this. Roll it.
Attorney General James Uffmeyer here at the Miami-Dade Collier Training Facility. This is an old, virtually abandoned airport facility right in the middle of the Everglades. Florida's been leading on immigration enforcement, supporting the Trump administration and ICE's efforts to detain and deport criminal aliens. The governor tasked state leaders to identify places for new temporary detention facilities. I think this is the best one. As I call it, Alligator Alcatraz.
Damn right.
This 30-square-mile area is completely surrounded by the Everglades. Presents a efficient, low-cost opportunity to build a temporary detention facility because you don't need to invest that much in the perimeter. People get out, there's not much waiting for them other than alligators and pythons. Nowhere to go, nowhere to hide. Within just 30 to 60 days after we begin construction, it could be up and running and could house as many as 1,000 criminal aliens.
Let's go.
This presents a great opportunity for the state of Florida to work with Miami-Dade and Collier counties. Alligator Alcatraz, we're ready to go.
Collier County, home of Ray Finkel.
Florida is where woke goes to die.
I love this. I mean, seriously, you're not going to have to spend a ton of resources on, you know, the perimeter, because if somebody's willing to escape and tries to escape, if the alligators or the pythons don't get you in those Everglades, if you've ever seen any of those nature shows, the Travel Channel, you know, those swamp creature, river monsters, I mean, there's some nasty stuff in there. Mm-hmm. You get a couple of sheriffs up on a little high perch with a scope, boom, pick them off.
So this is, I lived here out of college. I worked, we talked about it with Tony Bruno, worked at Wink TV, which is the CBS affiliate in Fort Myers, Florida. Collier County is Naples. And so that is, if you know that stretch, and when I would drive over to, so this is the Gulf of America coast, then when I would drive over to the other side, to Miami, I would see women who would walk that. And if, and when I did, I would pick them up and say, what are you doing out here?
You pick up hitchhikers?
Oh, yeah. No, as you, Nick, there were all the time we would report at Wink and the Miami stations too. You would report on somebody who was trying to walk that trek, and they would get eaten by an alligator. This is real. This is not just fun, you know, like a threat.
Sure.
These gators are huge. Yeah.
Poll question, Jimmy. If you were to be killed, how would you rather go?
God.
By alligator or python? If you're going to die in the Florida Everglades as an illegal alien escaping a detention center, would you rather be devoured by the TikTok croc who took Captain Hook's left hand, or a python just crush your windpipe?
Python.
Yeah?
That's a slow death, though.
Is it?
Yeah, because they wrap around. Aren't pythons the one that wrap around? They're massive.
Yeah.
Have you seen the shows where they're an invasive species, somebody like let their pet python go?
Yep.
So now they're this invasive species. They're eating the birds and all the critters. So they have open python hunting season.
Well, they kill livestock. They can devour and choke out like sheep and cows and horses. I've watched. I don't know what that says about me. I've looked up. I go down these rabbit holes from time to time of like animal fights, watching crocodiles versus alligators, lions versus tigers. It's fascinating.
The poll is up on YouTube, by the way. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. How would you rather die, alligator or python? Alligator's winning right now at 60%.
I mean, I guess if I want to go quickly, you know, if I'm in a boat in the Everglades and I'm reaching over to check my engine or my motor, if a crocodile came up and just beheaded me, I'd be gone in 2 seconds. I think I'd rather go that way than being slowly choked out.
Mm.
That's just me.
Yeah, so the python, what it does, it wraps around you.
Cool.
And so they're not like they're going to, you know, bite you like a, like you said, like a lion or a tiger.
Bite me.
They choke you out and then they swallow you whole.
They slowly suffocate you,
yeah.
Wrap around you, and they're huge.
And then you get stuck in their body and you can see the animal or the human that they've devoured, and then they poop you out.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's a slow
process. What they do.
Process.
I'm actually an expert on this. I've watched it.
By
the way, on a serious front, DHS, if they are on board with this, does this have to go through a vote, House and the Senate, and things like that? Do we have to get, or is this just on automatic approval?
I don't think in Florida there's going to be any problems with this at all.
No, but this becomes federal.
Yes.
So I'm assuming it's got to go to Washington, D.C. for some sort of passing of a vote, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody will vote no. Some Republican will vote no. Then they should be primaried immediately.
Speaking of Florida, a woman shot a deputy inside a patrol car, with a gun hidden in her crotch.
Say this one more time in Florida.
That is talent.
A Florida woman shoots deputy inside patrol car with a gun hidden.
Okay.
In her vagina.
I don't know if we need to be that.
So this was not a fellow officer that accidentally shot a deputy.
Now that is a That's a woman who does not need vagina rejuvenation.
This is
jeez, almighty.
Technically, this is a new story.
It's the biggest load that we've seen.
All right, let's roll this from WE.
Pole that's on the ground there that was knocked over, and the aftermath of all of this that happened here. The deputy's SUV was filled with bullet holes, several of them on the passenger side, another one in the front windshield. The SUV also apparently crashed into this telephone pole and knocked it over. The Marion County Sheriff's Office says it happened after 2 o'clock this morning near the Budget Inn on South Pine Avenue, but the hotel itself was not involved in it. We're told the deputy had arrested a woman for driving with a suspended license and having drugs in Summerfield. He was driving with her to the jail, but she allegedly pulled the gun from her crotch and shot him. The woman's identified as 22-year-old Rihanna Harden, and the deputy was able to fire back, shot Harden before apparently crashing here on Pine Avenue. We talked to one man who is staying here. He walked out.
Yeah, that is typical Florida, but man, I feel so bad for that deputy. Do we think that was a failure to properly search the suspect? I mean, how... I'm trying to visualize this.
So we can joke about this because neither were seriously injured.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is a good thing. But yeah, the apparently he didn't search everywhere.
Well,
how much of a firearm can
search?
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Might have been a deep cavity.
It's like the guy in Beavis and Butthead Do America. You know, I want full body cavity searches on everybody. How far do you have to go up there?
Yeah.
And can you really get a full firearm up there?
Well, yeah. Apparently, she did.
Amazing, too. These drug smugglers that will smuggle, contraband in their, anal cavity, or they swallow it and it's in their stomach and they just wait to, pass it out.
Yep.
We got a lot of sick. We have a lot of desperate people. Desperate.
I thought you meant Rihanna actually used, this sounds
like she went like this.
Yeah, like she.
Like she delivered.
Like, I thought, wow, she did her Kegels. You know what I mean? Like, that's impressive.
And God, thank
pull,
God.
Pull
thank,
a trigger
yeah.
with that. Wow.
Thank God the officer's fine. But how does he live that down amongst the boys?
Oh.
You know, it's a slow night. It's a slow night. Or maybe it's, the officers get together once a month for poker.
Yeah.
And they've all whacked a couple of brown liquors and beers. And they're like, hey, man, you have any ladies shoot you from their you-know-what lately?
That's a power poutang.
Poonanny nanny.
It's the poonanny nanny pistol.
Poonanny nanny.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
We need to laugh.
Well, I mean, to get that gun in there, it must have been...
Excellent penetrator.
Woo. We're calling this page on my board the dirty board.
Look, I just report the news. That's all I'm doing.
Oh, it's a legit news story.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That might be the only thing that keeps me from a Florida retirement is the crazy that goes on there.
Well, let's not besmirch Florida too much because... A Florida doctor, let's give some kudos to Florida now. A Florida doctor performs prostate surgery on a man 7,000 miles away. Fernando de Silva, a man who lives in Angola, Africa, received surgery from Orlando-based Dr. Vipul Patel and help from robotics. De Silva was diagnosed with prostate cancer 3 months ago. He has now become the first patient of the human clinical trial, which was approved by the FDA, as noted by ABC7.
Dr. Vipul Patel. I think that's Cash's grandfather.
Let's roll this ABC News.
Here's the next step, the future of surgery.
It's a life-saving surgery this doctor has done tens of thousands of times.
Wow. It's the same as if I'm in the room. Better, actually, because I can actually see what anesthesia is doing. It's much better.
Dr. Vipul Patel is the medical director of the Global Robotic Institute at Advent Health in Orlando, Florida. 67-year-old Fernando de Silva was diagnosed with prostate cancer 3 months ago. He lives in Angola, where treatment options are limited. De Silva needed advanced surgical treatment to remove his prostate cancer.
This is a robotic console. It's attached to a robot, and it's attached to a robot that does surgery in patients in operating rooms all over the world.
De Silva agreed to be the first patient in an FDA clinical trial testing robotic surgery to be performed remotely.
I've done almost 20,000 robotic prostatectomies now, and that's what we're known for here.
Usually, these procedures are done with the surgeon in the room, But this time, Patel and his team were working to test whether it could be done remotely across the Atlantic Ocean.
This is crazy.
Hell no.
14-hour flight.
Nope.
Unlike a typical surgery, Dr. Patel doesn't need to scrub in. Instead, he sits at a multi-million dollar machine with a three-dimensional screen and nimble controls with haptic feedback.
I always have my team where the patient is. So in case something happened with telecom, which can't, I'm sure, the team would just take over and finish the case and do it safely.
The first FDA-approved remote surgery was a success.
All right, why don't you switch it over and then let's sew this back. First ever prostate removed from the United States to Africa. So at least we've done that part. Now we have to put it all back together.
And now Dr. Patel plans to do more.
I think the most needs-based case would be telestroke and cardiac. Those are the two where people die quickly in a short period of time. And so if we could do remote stroke surgery, remote cardiac stenting, clot removals, you would save huge amount of lives. So this is where telesurgery will really have an impact on a broader level.
Yeah, my man's going to do surgery via Zoom, basically. I'm out. It's a hard no for me. If that thing screws up, you have to give my family like $1 million. I'm out. I want a doctor with his hands and his scalpel, and I want him in his scrubs, and I want people over me.
This is the future, by the way. This is the future. This is how you wit when we all get, well, not you, Kale.
See, this is, I'm going to go out naturally with a heart attack.
Yeah, you'll long since be dead.
Yep.
But for Dawn and I, this is how in our old age, if we have to get, you know, God forbid, any of these surgeries.
Yep.
This is how it's going to be done for us. Yep. That is an amazing breakthrough, by the way.
Just imagine when AI craps the bed and you come to join me in the afterlife, and I'm already there sitting watching reruns of Married with Children. I'm going to be there to tell you, I told you so.
I'm going to join.
Remember when you mocked me because I dropped dead on the seventh hole?
I'm going to join you.
Yeah.
Right.
How'd you like that Orlando robot, Skip?
So this is the first of its kind, the longest distance telesurgery ever completed. So it's important to note two things. It's not only robotic, but it's also remote. And that's the combination. So this gentleman in Angola, where they have one of the highest death rates for these kinds of things in this country, you know what I mean? If you have cancer like that, which Joe Biden, for example, former President Biden was recently diagnosed with, it's quick, it's easy, it's treatable, that sort of thing. But in that part of the world, they just don't have access
yep.
to high-quality medical care. And so I will just say to you that the patient in this case, in Angola, Africa, basically he had the choice of a remote robotic surgery or you can die.
Yeah. Well, in that case, then I obviously get it. Let's talk about America. You get this. You live in Pennsylvania. You can either fly or you could get treated here or you can get it done remotely with a robot. Let's say it's the cost with insurance, whatever. Same thing. Apples to apples. You trust the robot more or the skilled physician? I want the human on me.
Well, just to recall, bring back something that Marjorie Taylor Greene had mentioned that I agree with. Which is, she had talked about AI.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Jewish
right?
space lasers.
And the truth is, part of this involves AI. And this is a huge story because the federal government essentially wants to establish that the federal government trumps states from having, you know, AI control. And that's what the battle is right now. And AI is the future. And so in your hospitals, it's not just robotics and all of this. It's, will AI replace or assist these surgeries or assist doctors? And do we want that?
I mean,
and that's,
where else are we going with this? I feel like, and I say this, I think we have a mental health crisis in this country. I say that all the time on this show. Now we have, you know, cars that will drive us from point A to point B robotically, so to speak, surgeries robotically. I don't know. I think you have to be mentally unstable to be on board with something like that. You really trust all of this? I'm not saying that it's like corrupt, but I don't want to go out and die knowing that I died by choice to let a robot do something of significance for me.
I think the problem here, Nick, is that we talk about jobs and manufacturing jobs and bringing those jobs back, and that's a huge piece of Trump's platform. However, if you look online, think about this. Think about the future of manufacturing cars. Even home, there are things online that you can look at where they have machines who can build a whole house out of concrete. And so all of these jobs, cleaning jobs, picking crops, every possible job that you can think of, many of them are jobs as broadcasters. There are already stations, radio stations, especially in our region, South Jersey and beyond, that overnight, it's all AI. It's robotics.
Yeah. It's for music, though.
It is for music.
Can't replicate what we do with robots.
Knock wood. But I will say that...
Please, dude.
Do you think you're going to get what I offer 20 hours a week from a robot named Alexa?
Yep, and probably do it better.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see better.
Than me as well. I'm not just talking about you or Dawn. Like, yes,
in general.
That's the future.
Well, this is the other thing. You know, everybody's on board with, it makes my life easier. But we're replacing human jobs. That's not good for the economy.
Your old...
it's the future.
Your old job, Dawn, where, you know, the news reading?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Please.
Have you seen those AI... It's scary, those AI reporters. I had a relative over who said, do you guys have a word, your safe word, just in case, you know what I mean? Somebody calls, you know, somebody and says, I'm at this place and I need this money and I'm in trouble or whatever. And this is happening. All of this is happening in real time. It's really scary.
I'm getting called again by the dentist about my daughter's appointments again today.
Are you kidding?
Again. Should I answer it? Should I just scold this place live on the air?
No, you can't. It. You can't do that. That's against FCC rules.
You better.
Sorry, Brendan Carr and I are tight.
Do you have their email? Could you just email them?
I'm about to take my business elsewhere.
Just email them and say, I'm on the job and many hours. Wife, right? Please, I've confirmed this 20 times.
Listen, would you handle this? I'm on the cut sheet.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. Please get over there, hit the like and subscribe buttons. We're only at 111 likes. I need to be over 200. So I need like 90 people right now. 99 people to go over there and hit the like button, please. No, 89. Math is not my strong suit. Speaking of jobs being replaced by robots, this Amazon worker was hard at work at Amazon in the warehouse, and she says how is she supposed to work and do her job after the United States bombed Iran? You know it's not going to have a problem doing work after bombings. AI.
That's correct.
So keep bitching on social media, mm-hmm. and your job will be done in quick, fast, and in a hurry.
With your pride straps on.
Roll this.
I just want to know how I'm supposed to do my job when we bombed Iran. And
all right, can I start this generation? Oh God!
Like, where do we get? And so, like, and then, like,
I think I have to go get another person.
It's the AOCification of females.
And everybody thinks they're just so damn important with the social media. Like, sweetie, like, get to work. Yeah. I need lip gloss.
Yeah.
Box that stuff up and ship it over to my house.
Yeah.
But I don't need lip gloss. My wife does. Let me just clarify that for a second.
But her job's going to be gone.
Yeah, of course. As well, it should be
replaced by a robot.
It's clearly not that important.
You want to know the visual I just had? Saturday night, Stocker goes Buffalo Bill, and he's got the robe on, and he's doing his man.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin Poles, get on that. Stocker's face on Buffalo Bill with the jacket doing the makeup.
Start this over and roll it again, please.
I just want to know how I'm supposed to do my job when we bombed Iran and we're just supposed to, like, go run about. We're just supposed to get these boxes out without being worried.
Yep.
I just need somebody to explain to me how I'm supposed to not crash out.
Yeah, crash out. First of all, Amazon should fire her for posting that on the clock.
Agreed.
Secondly,
agreed.
You go about it the same way I went about it when we had all the stuff that broke Saturday night with bombings. You just go about the rest of your life. That's what you do. You go about the rest of your life. If you're on the golf course, you keep golfing. If you're at the bar, you get another drink. You just go about the rest of your life. Last thing, this crashing out term that is catching on.
I've never heard it.
My daughters come home My Olivia said this to me last. No, she was going. It was before they left for Nashville for Nationals, and she says, "Dad, are you gonna? If I forget what she said, but she goes, are you going to crash out if you don't get what you want or something or whatever?" And I said, "What do you mean crash out?" And she goes, "You know, crashing out, like losing your mind." I said, "Oh, is that what they call it now? That's the new term, crashing out." People, so like when Stalker goes nuts at six whatever and he yells at Phil in the back for not censoring something, he's crashing out.
Yeah.
Stalker has lots of crashing out moments.
I do.
He's the king of crash outs.
Exactly.
Yeah. Crashing out. I hate that term.
I've literally never heard it.
Yep. Crashing out.
I've heard, hey, I'm going to go crash because I'm tired.
What I do every day after the show.
It's basically when you're like, mentally or emotionally exhausted.
Yeah.
Just going to crash out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to crash out.
Yeah, Gmail wants to know which brand of scalp gloss you use there, Cal.
Scalp gloss? That's natural Greek Irish oil.
Because of all of the, the happenings on Saturday night and Sunday, I didn't get to a couple things that I wanted to over the weekend. I wanted to get to this one. This is amazing. So cut three here. Vice President J.D. Vance. Remember Senator Alex Padilla, who made that stunt by getting arrested?
Remember? And cuffed.
Yeah, when Kristi Noem was doing a press conference, and he went in there and he had to get arrested. And nobody knew Alex Padilla, but now everybody does because he got arrested. And when I say arrested, I mean he was cuffed and then no charges were brought
up on him. Yeah, he was
detained. Yeah. So J.D. Vance referred to him as Jose Padilla.
No.
So funny.
During his visit to Los Angeles.
Intentionally or was this a slip?
No, I think it was. Dude, come on. Do you know Alex Padilla?
Like, no.
Would you have?
In fact, the last time I've heard the last name Padilla at all was the old Phillies pitcher Vicente Padilla.
Yeah, I was just going to say that too. Three, roll it.
Lawmakers who keep getting handcuffed. The New York Times just did a story. They keep getting handcuffed, suggesting that the Trump administration is cracking down on Democrats. Can you comment on that?
Well, I was hoping Jose Padilla would be here to ask a question, but unfortunately, I guess he decided not to show up because there wasn't the theater. And that's all it is. You know, I think everybody realizes that's what this is. It's
so
pure political.
That was clearly an accident.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it was really in motion, like just.
Yes, yeah.
Right.
He didn't say, Jose Padilla, like, you know,
right.
Stop.
Okay.
Well, Senator Padilla used this as an excuse to choke up on live television over J.D. Vance's calling him Jose.
Oh, so this is the second time he's cried now.
Roll this.
Currently the president of the Senate where you serve. He also went to Yale. I assume that he knows your name is Alex Padilla. Your response.
Stop for a second. I assume he knows your. Why? Nobody knew who the senator was.
Right.
Nobody knew who he was.
No, you've got.
He goes to Yale. He doesn't. Like, stop.
Jose. What's his first name?
Alex. Exactly.
Alex.
Exactly. I assume he knows why. Why?
Yeah. Propaganda.
All right, keep going.
Currently the president of the Senate where you serve. He also went to Yale. I assume that he knows your name is Alex Padilla. Your response to him calling you Jose?
Oh, he knows my name. He knows my name. Look, sadly, it's just an indicator of how petty and unserious this administration is. But he's the vice president of the United States. Do you think he'd take the situation in Los Angeles more seriously? You know, you think maybe he'd take a moment to talk to some of the families who have been impacted, have been terrorized? To feel what's really going on the ground. You saw him shaking hands with Marines, but did he listen to the Marines? Because we have, you know, the report after report of the Marines, so many of the Marines themselves that don't want to be there. That's not why they enlisted. Or if not the migrant families, how about the employers,
right,
who I know are speaking up because they're concerned about their workforce? We've got a lot of important work to do, but this is how the vice president chooses to act, and that says a lot.
Alejandro Padilla was born March 22nd, 1973. I butcher names all the time.
It's the dumbest controversy.
Yeah.
Like, it was clearly a mistake. Yeah. He meant nothing by it. Jose Padilla actually sounds correct. If he would have said that at a press conference, I wouldn't have batted an eye.
Well, most people would have assumed that Jose Padilla is just the senator from California.
Exactly. It's exactly.
This guy's no solutions. He's just seeking attention.
So self-important that he's like, of course he knows who I am. Mm-hmm. Why? Why? Yeah. Why would he know who you are?
And think about that. Of all the senators that we talk about on this show, whether it's one or two times a year or three times a week, I'd never heard of the name Alex Padilla until this story happened. And if I haven't heard of him, then odds are 99.9% of the audience has never heard, and neither has 99.9999999% of the country. I'm not sure California knows who this guy is, and he serves the state. Alex Padilla. Shut up. Fix up your state. Clean it up.
Yeah, and JD doesn't usually misspeak like that, but I think it's an understandable... I think it was, like Greg said, it's a genuine...
Yes!
You know.
We all do it. I can tell when somebody's trying to be like sarcastic or trying to, you know, be controversial, or when he's genuinely making a mistake. He genuinely made a mistake
there. You either maybe pause for effect, you give a little smirk, you look up at the crowd.
You know what they're going through. You know what they're going through in their head. It's like, it's racist. It's
Of course.
He thinks we all look the same and all our names are Jose.
Yes.
Like, stop. Just stop.
Okay. MSNBC.
Imagine they spent. Thank God, the bombing happened because it gave MSNBC and CNN something else to talk about.
They don't know what the f- they're doing.
All right, I have to ask you guys a question here. Go get on over to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210 WPHT, and for all the people that get all up in their feelings because you know, we do visual things on YouTube. Nick, if you can describe this for us. This is a federal agent in Pasadena, California, who drew a gun on an anti-ICE protester for photographing his license plate. Was his reaction justified? So I'm going to play this video. It's just visual. So if you can describe it.
Yeah, we've got a guy kind of built like me.
All right, play it.
It's like he's almost look like he's trying to pull backwards a Dodge Charger. Officer gets out, turns around from the driver's side to the back, firearm pulled out, and Mr. Photo license plate guy runs off like a little weasel.
So he stopped just to get the license plate number of this car.
Yes.
And then
of the officer's car.
Of the officer's car.
Which I would imagine is another attempt to either dox or SWAT or find the identity.
Why else would you need somebody's
of this
license
officer,
plate?
Right.
Why else?
And who else would, why would you ever do that to one? I mean, it's one thing if you snap a picture of somebody that's got a cool bumper sticker and then you're going to crop out the license plate to protect it. But why would you ever do that to a law enforcement officer? I wouldn't have the balls. Forget the balls. It would never emanate in my brain to do that. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with it.
Dawn, was he justified for pulling his firearm?
How does he know what he's doing back there, actually?
Roll it again.
I don't know if he's got a, if he's sticking a firecracker up my tailpipe.
That's a, or a banana.
Is he trying to jimmy open my trunk?
Yeah.
Has he got a Molotov cocktail he's going to throw through the back window?
He didn't.
Know.
He didn't fire.
No.
He just pulled the gun.
Yeah. F around and find out, man. That's my kind of law and order.
Dawn, justified pulling the gun?
I only have a snippet of video. I do think that most officers are trained for de-escalation and things. So I don't know. He obviously thought this person was a threat. Did he not?
It de-escalated it.
Yeah.
And so
it took off.
You know, he'll probably get in trouble though nowadays.
Yeah, this is California.
Well, yeah,
California. Yeah, he's gonna get the gas chamber.
I mean,
yeah. By the way, do we have any updates of the other California situation at the drive-through where they shot the guy dead for ramming people with his vehicle?
No,
we got to keep up on that story.
Yeah.
I'd love to see how they treat the officers out there. I'm hoping it's justified force by and a. I'm sure this will go to a jury or something, but.
So we're all under the same belief that this officer was justified.
Yes,
I think so. I don't really know because I only see the one snippet, and I'm always hesitant to make an opinion off of one angle, one snippet, and I don't know the full circumstance.
Larry Krasner gives the benefit of the doubt to the criminal. Nick Cale gives the benefit of the doubt to law enforcement.
Yeah. I mean, that's you make the best point that I'm usually going to say if somebody's a trained law enforcement officer, they must have good reason and start in that place as opposed to the opposite of what happens.
I'd love to hear from law enforcement.
Yeah. What should he do? Should he have put the car in reverse and backed it over that guy?
No. Or, you know, some people are saying, because I was reading the comments on the social media post, and some people said he should have just gotten out of his car and just been like, hey, what the hell are you doing? And tried without pulling a gun. But to your point, Nick, he doesn't know that he's doing that.
No.
He could have put a Molotov cocktail in the guy's, what are those things called?
Trunks?
Exhaust pipe.
Tailpipe.
Thank you.
Love the tailpipe.
Thank you. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD, where you can go vote right now.
You asked for law enforcement. We have it, I believe. CJ is in Havertown. I believe this is the officer, CJ. CJ, is this you?
Yes. Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Morning, buddy. What's going on?
No, so just in reference to that person possibly doxing that federal agent's car. So more than likely, that Dodge Charger is not his personal vehicle. It's a federally issued law enforcement vehicle. Yep. So running that tag doesn't come back to anything. Different times where I've ran an unmarked vehicle thinking it was involved in, nefarious crime. Come to find out, I'm running a tag and it comes back to nothing. Then we pull the vehicle over. It's an FBI agent or whomever. So you're not getting any, that person doing that is moot. You're not getting anything. You're just going to get a fugazi law enforcement agency with a holding company that comes back to absolutely nothing. Gotcha. So that was a wasted effort on him. Now, the agent pulling the gun, their use of force continuum would be different from local. So they may be justified in doing that. I'm not 100% sure. They may need to actually ask a federal agent. But their use of force may be different than ours. To your point, he could have been putting anything to damage their vehicle or hurt those agents.
Right.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it does.
Their use of force may be different than ours.
Gotcha.
Or local law enforcement.
So as local law enforcement, would you have reacted like that or no?
It's hard to say in a moment. I mean, it's like that fight or flight situation. And then, so if I did pull my weapon on him, I would have been justified by then detaining him because I don't know what his use of force would have been. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. You pull the firearm to de-escalate it, you detain him, and then you're probably justified for your action?
As long as you can articulate it, sometimes in law enforcement, the pen is mightier than the sword. You have to be able to articulate why you used that use of force.
Right. And we also don't know either, CJ, if maybe he had a reverse, when you put your car in reverse, you have that rear view camera, you can see what's behind you. Maybe he, saw this guy come behind him or get out of his vehicle. He says, okay, to get a better view, instead of using the mirror above my dashboard, I put it in reverse while I'm essentially stopped. I see the rear view camera, and all I see is this guy staring into the back of my camera by my trunk. I have no idea what this guy's capable of doing in that moment.
Exactly. And again, it's a case-by-case basis based on discretion, and you have to be able to properly articulate that. Now, other law enforcement people listening to this may have a different perspective because, again, use of force continuum just, it counters what you do.
Right.
But in that moment, it's a give or take. More than likely, I probably would have done the same thing. Probably got yelled at, but I'd rather, the old saying, I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6, right?
Sure.
In that moment, if you cannot articulate what you're doing, then you have a problem.
That's right.
You have to be able to properly explain it.
CJ,
but
great
again,
stuff.
Other law enforcement people may have different perspectives, but that's just mine.
Yep. Stay safe out there, man. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, yep, have a good one.
Somebody that you'll see at the Families Behind the Badge, somebody who I've known for years, Judy Cassidy. So many of you know her, and her husband, great guy, Chuck Cassidy, was Philadelphia police officer, walked into a store just to grab a bite to eat and tried to de-escalate a situation with a young man with a gun in progress of a robbery, tried to de-escalate, and he was shot and killed.
Yeah.
Leaving his wife, Judy, and their beautiful children. I mean, it's just such a tragedy. And so officers know these stories because, think about it. If you're in this community and think about what we talk about all the time with Marissa Fitzgerald in the headlines, the trial right now for the accused killer of her husband, Sergeant Fitzgerald. But we could go on and on with these stories. And so the issue is, if you do what you're trained, which is de-escalation in that moment, it may very well cost you your life.
Mm-hmm. You are correct, and we all love and respect first responders. That's why we're asking you to once again join in supporting the 38th annual Bend to the Shore Bike Tour coming up on Sunday, July 20th, just over 3.5 weeks from now. And tons of options. You can ride 65, 30, or 10 miles on the route from Philly to Atlantic City and be a part of the celebration at the Showboat Hotel after the ride. Register to ride with Team 1210. Stalker's a part of it as well. Whether you're riding or just donating to support the cause, here's where you go. Visit bend2shore.org. And when you sign up with the code NICK1210, they will take $25 off of your registration fee. That's Ben, B-E-N, the number 2 Shore, S-H-O-R-E.org, bend2shore.org. Promo code NICK1210. All of it benefits the families behind the Badge Children's Foundation, which provides immediate financial relief to families of fallen or critically injured first responders and connects police and children through non-enforcement positive action.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
8 o'clock hour of Kale and Company brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders, where you can save on stunning high-quality furniture. During the incredible 4th of July sale at Bucks County Estate Traders, save 20 to 50% on select items store-wide. Visit their showroom in Hatfield or BucksCountyEstateTraders.com. Sale starts Monday and now open extended hours and Sundays as we continue the extended hours of the cut sheet.
You know what nobody's talking about?
What?
Chuck Todd's podcast.
Yeah.
As I've been saying, that done.
No, I didn't even know until you sent that on your cut sheet. I didn't even know
that he had a podcast. Yeah, well, he had Jake Tapper on, who I believe is still hawking his book, trying to get, you know, that 18th person to buy his book. It's just interesting to me now that all these guys don't work for these networks and they're trying to keep their fledgling careers going. Mm-hmm. That now all of a sudden they're coming out and saying, "Well, you know, I wonder if the whole Biden family man image was just a 40-year bill of goods, according to Chuck Todd.
Oh.
Can you imagine him saying this?
Oh, that was right-wing talking points a year ago.
So what is it? Is he just grifting now, or did he actually believe that but wasn't allowed to say it?
I don't know. I kind of care because we have to talk about it. But the reality is, they were on a fading network, and now they're doing a podcast that nobody's going to consume. More people will consume this clip than those that actually downloaded or tuned in, or however this guy launches his daily or three times a week. I love these guys, by the way. I do a new show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7 o'clock. Yeah, try doing 20 hours, you hack.
Yeah, by the way, more people are listening to this right now at 8:40 in the morning, the prime of morning drive, than have downloaded it, you know, to your point, Nick. All right, roll this.
So, for me, the original sin was running in the first place.
All right, stop. 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 Stop.
If I had any credibility left, I'm going to shoot myself in the foot right now. Good God.
I just, you know what? I would have more respect for these guys if they just stuck to what they had been saying all along.
The other thing, too, is, like, I admit I'm an ugly guy, but Chuck Todd's uglier than I am.
Oh, boy.
How did this guy have a TV career for as long as he did? Right? You gotta have the perfect hair, right? Larry Bear's got the great hair. Phil Malusion's got the great hair. You gotta have a certain look to be on TV.
Yeah.
I don't have the look for TV, but you know what? Chuck Todd never had it to begin with.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out.
All right, let's start it over.
So, for me, the original sin was running in the first place.
Oh, well, yes, I've heard you talk about this because
his family was in crisis.
Right, because his daughter and his son were addicted to drugs.
I followed that Hunter Biden trial soup to nuts. I read every single transcript. I read all of the testimony.
Soup to nuts?
Yeah. I cannot believe to this day, Jake.
You haven't?
No.
You need to get out of here,
dude. That Joe Biden did this to his kids.
Maybe Chuck Todd somebody close to the family
can't believe that he did it.
Somebody close to the family told us, and this is in the book, that everybody knows, you know, some of the family aphorisms like, you know, my word is a Biden, or you know, et cetera, et cetera. A lesser known Biden family saying is, don't call a fat person fat. And by that they mean, it's not about politeness. It's about hiding truths, not acknowledging truths. And this person close to the family suggested that there are lots of truths that the family did not want to face up to. One, Bo is dying. Mm-hmm. Two, Hunter is addicted to drugs. Three, Joe Biden cares about his family more than he cares about anything else. Mm-hmm. And those three are not true, this family, this person close to the family said. And wow. And that's when you talk about his running in 2020, yeah. I think that comes to bear because obviously he was putting his ambition, and if you want to be charitable, his hopes to save the country from Trumpism or whatever.
Shut up.
Obviously he was putting that above what was going on with his family and his two children and their struggles.
Look, I mean, you know, you and I covered, you know, for most of our professional lives, the story of Joe Biden was this guy cared about his family so much he commuted home every night from Washington.
Now, By the way,
you know, what else you could say is this man was so ambitious that after his family went through that tragedy, he commuted every day to work.
Right.
Like, so, it's the same story.
He had his narrative. His sister and, help raise
and
his boys.
I sit here, I look at this, and I think, were we sold a 40-year bill of goods?
Yes.
Well, so either you sold the bill of goods, you little weasel, or you were just, you had your head so far up the DNC's keister, you didn't see the light of day in four decades. One of those two. These guys, I'm telling you. And you talk about these podcasts that never hit. I've been saying this for months on this show. There's no market short of a select few for left of center podcasts. That one is a rare outlier that Stocker brings up. We play it from time to time.
Pod Save America.
Yep. They've kind of have the market cornered on it. And the reason why I think that is there's a lack of distrust in mainstream legacy media. And also, there's countless sources. I'm going to bring this up for a second. I had this from yesterday. Athenkutsurumbis took a screenshot on his X feed from Pew Research Center. It's a majority of Republicans get their news from Fox News, while Democrats turn to a wider range of news sources. But the message on the variety of news on the left, it's all the same. There's far more, and he kind of presented this as if Democrats are more diverse and open-minded, I think, and maybe I'm misinterpreting Athen wrong, to different sources, which I don't think is the case. I think they are probably maybe even more tribal than anybody. Yeah, Phil has it here. Phil, throw this up here on the YouTube graphic, and I don't know if you can zoom in or not, but you look at all the different sources that people that are Democrats get their news from, CNN, NPR, NBC News, MSNBC, the AP, PBS, New York Times, ABC, BBC, CBS, The Washington Post, Politico, The Guardian, The Atlantic, USA Today, Newsweek, The Hill, let's see. And then you get to the more right-leaning stuff. Fox News, Joe Rogan Experience, Newsmax, Daily Wire, Tucker Carlson Network, New York Post, Breitbart. I would say just based on that quick math, that's a 2.5, 3-to-1 advantage for left-leaning media versus right-leaning media.
Yep.
That's why I think you probably, and this is, and look, I don't think Chuck Todd's podcast is good. I don't think any of these are good. But even if there was a really good one, it's going to struggle to catch on because left-leaning views is watered down and diluted in the news cycle. There's too much of it. There's not enough demand for it for all the outlets that exist. They exist because of their ad revenue. They don't exist because of their ratings. CNN's not still around because they get 100,000 people to watch Caitlin Collins. I mean, she should be fired for those numbers. But she probably brings in a ton of revenue because she's ad-friendly, and 75% of CNN's revenue is from Big Pharma.
Switching over to ESPN real fast, I wanted to bring this up, and again, I'm breaking my rule of not talking about the WNBA, but sometimes I just have to. I'm just going to play this really quickly. Rebecca Lobo on ESPN.
Former UConn center back when Phil was in college at UConn.
She was calling the Indiana Fever game over the weekend, and she made the comment about saying, make America great, and then she had to backtrack it.
Yeah, I think it was, and you'll hear it in a second. I think she said, this is what makes America great.
This is what makes America great. And then she had to backtrack. Like, if this is the most absurd thing I ever heard. And I have a theory behind this. Yep. All right. Listen to this.
So they disagree with you.
They do.
And I disagree with them. And that's fine. That's what makes America great, right, Pat Moore?
I should rephrase that.
Yes.
What?
But yeah, I did think.
Opinion are perfectly.
Yes,
fine.
That's a better way to say it. Sorry about that.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
If you notice the long pause there,
yep.
I believe somebody was in her ear saying, "Don't say that."
Yep.
Retract that.
That's a shame.
That is, in a nutshell, why ESPN, Disney, and the WNBA can go pound sand. They were arguing over, I believe the context of it was some sort of incident in the game, a foul call or whatever, differing opinions. Oh my God, there is an action that occurs and two people disagree on what actually happened or what a punishment or penalty should be. Yes, go back to the big take, the woke right. That's what makes America great, allowing differing viewpoints. And because you say something that kind of resembles make America great again, you catch yourself and in an act of cowardice have some donkey back in Bristol, Connecticut in your ear. Hey, Lopes, might want to rephrase that. That came off very MAGA-ish. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. You know what, Phil? I hope UConn doesn't win a game next year. I want the women's team to suck. I want the men's team to suck. I hate the state of stinking Connecticut.
Uh-oh.
DeLorio, go back to your state.
She's the purple.
Screw UConn and screw the WNBA. Think about that. The only time anybody ever talks about that non-profitable abomination where even females are like, I'd rather just stick my head in a toilet than watch women's basketball. They get a gift from the gods in Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. Screw that up. Now they're all about this. Here's the other one. I got this other WNBA story. Talk about somebody I've never heard of before. WNBA player Natasha Cloud calls for Trump's impeachment after bombing Iran. Natasha Cloud couldn't find Iran on a map. And I've got a chick that averages 9 points a game in a league that nobody watches, where she doesn't generate a damn dollar worth of revenue, talking about an impeachment.
Well, can we, since we're on this, one more. Sophie Cunningham, I love her. So she says she has to act as Caitlin Clark's bodyguard because the NBA, the WNBA, refuses to protect her.
Yep.
I love this, by the way. Let me just say this. This is the type of stuff that needs to empower women. Not these guys who get their penises chopped off and say, but I'm a woman too. Mm-hmm. No, it's girls like this. It's women like this. Excuse me. I don't mean to say girls. That's very degrading. It's women like this who stick up for their teammates. Sportsmanship.
Yep.
That type of stuff.
Yep.
That needs to be looked at and idolized.
Yep.
Roller.
You've gained, I think, 500,000 followers and such, and your jersey selling out. How cool is that for your...
Yeah, you know, it's cool. It's funny what kind of people are attracted to. You know, I'm just trying to keep the main thing. The main thing is that's basketball, trying to win games, sticking up for my teammates. And that's all part of it. I think all that stuff it's fun and whatnot, but at the end of the day, we need to win some basketball games.
You played in front of your packed house a few nights back the other night, the energy in San Francisco. Tomorrow, you're on the Las Vegas Strip. What can the Las Vegas expect from Sophie?
Oh, you know what? I'm just going to be me. I don't go in there trying to predetermine anything. You know, I'm dialed in. I need to focus on hitting my shots, making sure I'm executing the schemes right. I'm not focused on the extracurricular activities. And you know what? During that, it was just part of the game. I think the refs had a lot to do with that. It was a buildup for a couple of years now of them just not protecting, you know, the star player of the WNBA. And so at the end of the day, I'm going to protect my teammates. That's what I do. And I'm a team player, so... It's all good.
Yep. For 2 years, Caitlin Clark, best thing that ever happened to the WNBA, has been physically assaulted constantly. And, you know, if you flip it around, would this have happened to LeBron James? No. Would this have happened to Michael Jordan? No. And in comes Sophie Cunningham on the Indiana team. My adopted WNBA franchise, by the way. Not only is she a badass enforcer, she is hot.
You're a Johnny come lately.
She's a total winner.
The biggest load that we've seen.
Thank you, 47.
By the way, ESPN is, although they've fluctuated over the years, they are extremely profitable.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're still very profitable.
And as well, CNN.
Oh, yeah.
CNN's, yeah.
That's what I've been saying.
It's unbelievable.
It's all pharma.
It's unbelievable to me that they're still, well, yes, you're right, it's all pharma.
Yep.
But
that doesn't mean that Tapper and his $18 million and Anderson Cooper and his $18 million aren't expendable on the chopping block.
$1.8 billion in 2023. Even though they've dropped like $400 million, they still profit. I mean, the revenue is $1.8 billion. I don't know what
this
the net is.
This is CNN, you
That's
said?
That's CNN.
Wow. How does Fox compare, by the way?
And Fox is through the roof.
Really? And they don't get the advertisers that CNN gets, which is fascinating. How do you think Fox generates their revenue? I know we're going down a rabbit hole here, but I mean, the MyPillow guy only can spend so much. I mean, you don't see the major mainstream corporations on Fox News. You just don't. You see Tunnels the Tower.
Not these days with that lawsuit. That
no.
Fox net. This is net. A net number, $1.55 billion in revenue.
Okay, so it's a little higher than CNN.
So it's an increase. And the difference is Fox, steady increase over the past several years.
Sure.
And so about more than $1.5 billion, but that's a net number. So I don't have their, I don't have their revenue numbers. So I'm trying to balance it out to compare apples to apples. But CNN, even though they've dropped about $400 million, they still, believe it or not, I'm looking at these. I only have the total numbers. I don't have
that's
the
fine.
Net. But CNN still. When you look at it, 18% drop, they're still at about the same as Fox.
And you,
as far as it looks,
and Fox doesn't get any pharma money, to my knowledge, other than those stupid vitamins, those little pills that you give your fruits and vegetable balance for the day.
Oh, Balance of Nature.
Yeah.
And by the way, Balance of Nature has a new line for the dogs.
Oh,
which
nice.
Is hitting. But I think the difference is Fox has the loyalty they can prove, much like us here. Right. That, in other words, they have deep saturation and penetration within the market. Excellent penetrator. No, I'm serious.
Yeah,
CNN
you're right.
is more like they have, because they're in airports, they're in waiting rooms and all of that. So it's almost like throwing a frisbee. You have so many more people who might see an ad. But with Fox, you're much more likely, if you reach that viewer, they're going to consume your product. That's
oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Consumer
analysis. I'm just wondering where the big spender is, because you don't see any major corporations on Fox. Have you ever seen a Coke ad? Have you ever seen a Geico ad?
The magic of Fox. I mean, that's why it's amazing.
We should take a break, but on the other side, we have Fight Club. And I want to get into this. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. But it's grilling season. This is an old story from a couple months ago, but I don't remember talking about it, and I want to talk about it now because, we're getting into the 4th of July, and everybody's going to be cooking hot dogs.
Unless it's 110 outside.
Human DNA is being found in American hot dogs. Let me repeat that. Human DNA is being found in American hot dogs. We will explain to you all of this, plus Fight Club.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.